for such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shal elyon. So glad to be with you today in peace and health and prosperity to the saints and servants of the Most High God. I am glad to be here, and I hope you are blessed by this program today. And if I mention it on occasion, you know, if you are being blessed by this program, then you can go to myamc.org, and there is a donation button on there, and I would appreciate the help, financial help to keep this radio program on the air. We've been dealing with the coronavirus, and our congregation has pretty much closed its doors to the public, but we have been live streaming everything, so you can catch us live streaming even at home and see the things that we're talking about in services and the discipleship training and both the Erev Shabbat, the evening before Shabbat, and Shabbat itself, Shabbat morning. We're live streaming these, and Rosh Chodesh, the new moon celebrations, all these things we are doing with live streaming. So you can go to our website, myamc.org, and you can see all the different things we have on there. And, you know, probably about 500 messages that are on there from different people, including myself, so that you can be blessed by all these things that are on there. So I think you would be amazed if you go to our website. We work pretty hard on that website itself. So we've been talking about Psalms lately. I want to continue with Psalms. You know, I believe that Psalms, you know, when you cover all the Psalms, you pretty much cover all every aspect of God's Word when you look at the Psalms. Prophetically and doctrinally, all these things you can see in Psalms all over. So we've been going through it. We've done Psalms 1, 2, and 3. We're getting ready to do Psalms 4. So if you join with me, open your Bible to Psalms 4, and you can follow along with Psalms 4 as we move along here in this age right now, the coronavirus, where so many things are shut down, and there's a lot of fear out there. And like I said last week, you know, there is no fear in the perfect love of God. Lift up your hands, lift up your head unto God. Speak to him. Let him know your requests and your supplications, and trust in him. Have faith in him. He is not going to let you perish as far as your faith or anything else. You know, even if this virus takes our lives, you know, all that means is to die is to be is a gain to be immediately with the Lord. It's just a transference if something happens to us. And so folks need to understand that and have no fear, for there is no fear in the perfect love of God. So if you have fear, I would really, really seek your heart and check your heart out with how your relationship with God. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. So if you are right with God, there will not be any fear. And that's the way it should be. Amen and amen. So Psalms 4, we're going to talk about that today, Psalms 4. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Last week we talked about how David is very pointed when he prays to God and very loud when he talks to God. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people think that we must bow our head, fold our hands together, and, you know, just pray without a sound. You know, and that's not the way God really wants us to pray. He wants us to pray preferably out loud and with faith and with passion. David, King David, had passion when he prayed. And so we need to have passion before God when we pray. So in that verse 1, it says that you have enlarged me when I was in distress. That word enlarge indicates, you know, that you have built up faith in me, that you've grown large, wide, you made room, you have confidence. And this is what happens when you pray properly before God. He will enlarge you. Faith will begin to overwhelm you, and you think you could do anything because of the Spirit of God that comes into you when you seek him wholly like that. So when we want to pray, because he is a God of our righteousness, like it says, and we want to pray where God's touches us, enlarges us, and builds our faith in us, like we know that you are listening. If God is listening to you, and God is going to do whatever you ask him to do, shouldn't that enlarge you? Shouldn't that build your confidence? Shouldn't that just cause you to just be bold when you know that God is listening to you and he's going to do what you ask? This is what happens when you walk with the Lord. When you don't walk with the Lord, then you got obstacles. So push those obstacles away. Get rid of the obstacles. Serve him with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength, all these things. Serve him with that great love that you should have in your heart of God. We shall love the Lord God with all our heart, all our soul, all our might, all our strength. This is the greatest commandment of all. And so we want to do that. And when you have that going on in your life, when you pray to God, you'll be enlarged. Your faith will build, especially when you're in distress, when you have need of God hearing you. And, you know, and God cares about our needs. And he's, you know, there's nothing too small for God. There's nothing too big for God. You know, it just disturbs me when people turn around and say, oh, God don't care about these kind of things. What, you think God is limited in what he can do and what he listens to? God is not limited. God can hear everybody praying at once. He can hear all these things, and he's not limited. Don't ever think that you're bothering the Lord with your prayer because you think it's minor. There's nothing minor with God, and there's nothing major with God. So call upon him. He is our Father. He cares about us. He wants to hear from us, and we got to do these things. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer, David was saying here. Have mercy upon me. David constantly speaks of mercy when he's praying to the Lord. And we do too. We need to ask for forgiveness of sins. We need to ask for mercy. And we need to ask him to hear our prayer, Lord. Wake up, O God, and hear my prayer. As we see this concept throughout Psalms all the time. Rise, O God, and hear my prayer. Take a stand, O God. Hear what I'm having to say. David had confidence because he had the Holy Spirit, and he prayed according to the Holy Spirit in his life. Are you praying according to the Holy Spirit in your life? Or is it like James says, your prayers are not answered because you ask amiss and according to your own lust? You know, we need to pray according to the Holy Spirit. We don't ask amiss. You know, like if somebody says, Lord, I need a car. You know, why do you need a car? Well, I got to get from point A to point B for my job, or I can't work. God will answer that. But if you try and say, Lord, I want a brand new Mercedes, he may not answer that, because now you're asking upon your own lust and asking amiss. That means you're missing the mark of the calling and purposes and will of God. So, people don't get sometimes prayers answered because they're asking amiss, and they're missing the mark. So just because, you know, God is, we can talk to God, the creator of all things. He's not a sugar daddy. You got to ask him according to the will of the Holy Spirit that is in you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, then you're not saved, and there's a problem that needs to be corrected immediately. Verse 2, O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? All right, so here David is speaking prophetically, where God is speaking through David saying, sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, which is lying, Selah? So here God is speaking through David saying that you're turning my glory into shame. And I speak of this a lot when I'm talking to people about, you know, what is our testimony? Do we shame God? You know, do we lose our testimony? When you say, I believe in God and I serve God, and the world sees you do wicked things, you're shaming God. You're taking the glory of God that should have been upon you, and you're turning it into shame, and you lose your testimony. What a terrible thing to lose your testimony. This is what happens quite often, folks, when we proclaim to the world that we're a believer and we know God, which is a good thing, but then we do wicked things. We lose our testimony. What is your testimony? Is your testimony on solid foundation? Or is your testimony on shifting sand? Or is your testimony on the raging waves of the sea? You know, we need a solid testimony. sure and concrete that when people look at us and say, that guy believes in God and he lives by it, that's, otherwise you lose your testimony. It's a terrible thing to lose your testimony. We love vanity. That's emptiness. And, you know, the vanity is just emptiness, idle, vain stuff. How long will you love vanity? How long will we love things that don't mean anything? How long will we love the things that are not important? You know, just be a little simple about this. I just say, I don't want to go to the congregation today because I'm going to watch the ball game at home. That's vanity. That's vain. Now, you serve God. You go serve him. Ball games and sports don't take precedence over God. Oh, well, I'm going to worship God at the lake today with a fishing pole. I'm not speaking against people, you know, that need to get out and get their mind clear. I'm not talking about that at all. But when you use fishing as an excuse not to serve God, I mean, I love fishing. I love the outdoors. And I love to be out there fishing all the time. But when it comes a time to serve God, I will serve God. And when people tell me, I seek God when I'm fishing. Oh, okay, well, that's interesting. Tell me how you do that. What do you mean? Tell me how do you seek God when you're fishing? They never can give me a good answer. That's just a lame excuse why they're not serving God, that they'd rather be fishing. And so... can you go serve God while you're fishing? Maybe. I don't know. That's between you and God. But don't use it as a lame excuse. And people do that all the time. You know, I seek God in his nature when I'm fishing. So do you praise God? Do you thank God for his nature? Are you thanking God for all the creatures you see? Are you thanking God for the beauty you see in the forests and the lakes and all that? Well, no. Then why are you seeing what you're seeing? You're not making any sense. Yeah, the vanity. Vanity, and seek after leasing. That means lying. That leasing is the concept of being deceitful, false, untruth, idolatry. And so do we seek after that? Do we constantly lie? And we're certainly losing our testimony when we do that. Verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Wow. The Lord knows how to set apart the godly before him. If you're walking in the aspects of the Lord and you're walking in the presence of the Lord, then the Lord knows how to separate you from the ungodly. And so he is with you always. You all can think about people you know that are so godly, you know, just humble, nice, godly people. That you see God written all over their faces. I know a lot of people like that. It just humbles me just to look at them. I wonder how they can do what they do. But there's a lot of people like that through great turmoil and persecutions that sometimes they've grown so trustworthy of God. They live hour by hour, minute by minute in the presence of God. I wish sometimes I could do that, but be careful what you wish for, they always say, because God may create the scenario you're going to regret if that happens. But this is the important thing, to why we need to put our total trust in God. Do we put our total trust in God? I don't know if we do or not. And like David said, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Do you know without a doubt that when you lift your voice up and you call unto God, did he hear you? Is there an obstacle in the way? Is there something in the way? Did he hear you? If you can't say, I know he hears me when I pray, then you need to reevaluate your life. You need to reevaluate very closely, because you should be living a life in such a way that when you pray to God, you know he heard you. Now, sometimes the answer is no. God said, no, that isn't good for you. I'm not going to give you what you're asking. Or no, I have a reason to doing what I'm doing. Or I'm testing you to see how strong your faith is going to be. Whatever the reason is, do you know God hears you? Or do you just wonder where he is, why he's not answering you? It all has to do with that personal relationship. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. We need to all stand in awe of God. He's not our sugar daddy. He is our father. And just like a child with the father loves the child, and the father gives the child just about anything the child asks for that's good for them. But on the other hand, we step out of line, sometimes there is punishment. And the Bible even says that the Lord chastises those he loves. Wow, you want to hear that one. You want to hear that scripture. None of us want to hear that scripture, but that's what scripture says. The Lord chastises those whom he loves. And we must understand that. Sometimes we get chastised. And because God loves us with a great love. And then we just receive that chastisement and call upon him, repent, whatever it is we did, and walk in his presence, and all will be well at all time. So stand in awe and sin not, and commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. Now here's one of the scriptures here in verse 4, that sometimes we need to be still to hear God. To hear, to listen to that still, small voice in our heart. You know, I don't know how people in some of these noisy churches that are so noisy, how can anybody hear God? Well, I'd say, all right, maybe that's just during the worship service. Do they still home and pray to God too also and listen for the still, small voice? David says we need to commune with our heart upon our bed and be still. There's a time to be noisy and there's a time to be still. And sometimes we cannot hear God's voice until we're still and we're listening. And you've got to separate yourself from everywhere else. You know, when Yeshua, when he was on the Sea of Galilee, one scripture tells us that he left long before dawn. And I don't know what that meant, 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m, I'm not sure what it meant. But probably pretty early, he left before dawn and found him a solitude place, and there he prayed. And when dawn came, the disciples saw he was missing, and they went looking for him, and they finally found him. But Yeshua got up in the early, early morning hours, before there was even dawn, and he went out to pray, because it's still and it's quiet, and he can hear the voice of God. This is what David is saying here, you know. God wants us to pray very actively and noisy sometimes, but there's times he wants us to be still, and we have to listen. Why don't we be still when we're praying to God? Is it because we may be afraid of what we might hear? Some people don't want to hear what God may have to say, but you have to receive it. You have to, you know, God may be saying, you got to stop what you're doing, and you don't want to stop what you're doing, and you don't want to hear it. And you think if you can stick your head in the sand, that God won't see. He sees and knows everything. So pray, even loud sometimes, and pray being still upon your bed, and listen to what the Lord may tell you. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Sacrifices of righteousness. What are the sacrifices of righteousness? That's a good statement. What is a sacrifice of righteousness? We can all probably think of something, sacrifice of righteousness, but in my mind, when I see something like that, it would be when I stand for righteousness and I know it works against me. When I stand for righteousness and I know I'm going to be condemned. I stand for righteousness and I know I'm going to be ridiculed. You know, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, Matthew 5 tells us. So you stand for righteousness. No matter what the world or the public or friends or family says, you stand for righteousness. That's the sacrifice of righteousness, when you stand for the things of God and don't hide your head in the sand and don't, you know, just see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil concepts. No, that's not of God. When there's evil involved, speak against it. When there's unrighteousness involved, speak against it. It's a sacrifice of righteousness, and if the world comes against you, then so be it, but your deeds, your righteous deeds will be recorded and will be remembered in the day of rewards. So you have to understand that, the sacrifices of righteousness, and just put your trust in the Lord. You know, that's very important to put your trust in the Lord. You know, when you speak for righteousness, you know you can make a difference. Yeah, you might be condemned, you might be yelled at, you might, people come at you in all kinds of directions, but when you speak with the sacrifices of righteousness, things change. You change people's hearts. understand that just because they gnarl at you and growl at you and curse you and everything else. But your words will eat at them. Your words will begin to soften up that stony heart of theirs. And it may be that eventually they will completely turn to God and become your friend instead of your enemy. We try to appease too much. Don't appease if it's the things of God. Don't appease. If it's the word of God and his commandments, whatever, don't appease. You can't appease. I don't appease. And I get myself in trouble for it all the time, but I just praise God for it. God said it, and therefore I believe it. You know, I'm not being politically correct. I'm not being, you know, this is the thing, you know, way we say things today. No. I say the things the way God says the things. And we got to do that. That sacrifice of righteousness. Verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Yeah, there are many. There are many out there today. It says, what has God ever done for me? What has a Christian ever done for me? What has a believer ever done for me? And so we cannot say things like that. Instead, we say, Lord, lift up you, the light of your countenance upon us. So when the world that's walking in darkness are screaming that they have no light, we ask the Lord to put light upon us, the light of his countenance upon us. As the world gets darker and darker, we should be getting lighter and lighter. That's the way it should work. We don't follow suit with the darkness of the world. We don't follow that. You know, the Lord said, you know, that you cannot serve mammon and God at the same time, for eventually you will love one and hate the other. You, mammon, in this case, I'm talking about the world. You cannot love the world and love God separately. You cannot love the world 6 days a week and love God 1 day of the week. Because eventually you will fail in that one day that you love God. You will fail. I guarantee you will fail. You must love God with all your heart, your soul, and your might 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You cannot serve both. You cannot have one foot in the world and another foot with God. You cannot stand on a fence and be tugged by the world and be tugged by God, because eventually you're going to go one side or the other. You cannot serve both. We need to all understand that. You cannot do both. You got to serve God, or you eventually begin to hate God and turn away from him. Wow. Verse 7, you have put gladness in my heart more than in time that their corn and their wine increase. So in other words, that their corn and their wine increase. And talking about the worldly people that are happy with their finances, that are happy with, you know, their prosperity. That's what it means by the corn and the wine increase. So people that have a lot, you know, their barns are full, their banks are full, their accounts are full, you know, all these things. They have lots and lots of things and supplies. But God, speaking through David, says, you have put gladness in my heart more than those that have increase. The peace of God being upon our heart and gladness in our heart is far more important than the riches of the world. So seek the Lord with all your heart. Verse 8, I'll both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, O Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. Wow. I will lay me down in peace and sleep. Do you sleep well at night? Do you feel safe because of the Lord? What kind of turmoils do you have? Have you given them to God? Have you asked the Lord to arise and defeat your enemies? Have you asked the Lord to bless you and heal you? Do you sleep well at night? Are you in turmoil all the time, your mind racing and your heart racing? Are you worried about losing your finances? Are you worried about losing your life or your health? Trust in the Lord, and you will dwell in safety. So God bless everybody. That ends Psalms 4. We'll talk to you next week, and may the shalom of God be upon you and your family all the days of your life. God bless everybody.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.